الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, the topic that we have in front of us today, which is regarding healing, regarding cure, regarding seeking cure and using remedies in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this topic indeed is a topic which is big, it is vast. There are many things that could be mentioned from different angles. A lot of benefits from the scholars, from our Salaf, a lot of sayings regarding health, regarding seeking cure. And inshallah ta'ala, we aim to mention certain points which we think it will be of benefit bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two blessings which many of the people lose out on: good health and free time. And this hadith, we see that health has been mentioned by our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, this is a matter that every Muslim should take care of. It is a matter that should be very important to every Muslim. And all of us, brothers and sisters, are afflicted with illnesses in one form or another. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us and part of our creation, something we cannot totally run away from. So it is from the divine decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So a person may ask, therefore, what is the wisdom behind illnesses or disease that afflict us every day or throughout our lives in different ways, of different types? Then we see, brothers and sisters, there are wisdoms behind them occurring. And inshallah ta'ala, we will mention a few that we have found. First and foremost, it is as a form of a test. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests His slaves and His servants in different ways, so that inshallah ta'ala, they may affirm and apply their servitude to Him. So they may apply as well patience. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, or do you think that you will enter paradise without such trials as it came to those who passed away before you? They were afflicted with al-ba'sa and al-darra. Al-ba'sa, they were afflicted with severe poverty. And al-darra, as al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in tafsir of this word, he wa darra, in this verse, he said, hiya al-amrad والأسقام والآلام والنصائب والنوائب. He said, this was darra. They are the illnesses, the sicknesses, the ailments, the pains and aches, and the afflictions. So here, brothers and sisters, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests His slaves with illnesses, diseases. This is something, brothers and sisters, that has been written on us, over us in this dunya. Also, another wisdom that we have come across is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He erases and wipes away the sins of a person, their mistakes that they have done by them being afflicted by, for example, illnesses, and other than that, other types of difficulties. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من مسلم يصيبه أذى من مرض فما سواه إلا حط الله به سيئاته كما تحط الشجرة ورقها. Hadith has been reported and narrated, is found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no Muslim that is affected by an affliction like marad, illness, and that which is besides it, and other things that is besides it, illa hatta Allahu bihi sayyi'atihi, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wipes away from this person his sins. Kama tahuttu ash-shajara warqaha, like the tree sheds its leaves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes and wipes away the sins of a person when he is afflicted by illnesses in his body and his mind, like the tree when it loses and sheds its leaves. Another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما يصيب المسلم من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن ولا أذى ولا غم حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها من خطاياه. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said that there is no Muslim who is afflicted by نصب, and which is tiredness, ولا وصب, an illness, ولا هم, any worry, ولا حزن, which is sadness or sorrow, ولا أذى, and any type of harm or injury, ولا غم, grief, حتى الشوكة, even a thorn, يشاكها, which pricks him, إلا كفر الله بها من خطايا, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wipes away his sins, his mistakes, and from this person by these afflictions, and by them. In this hadith also, brothers and sisters, it mentions the things that affect the body. Things affect the body, and that which affect a person's mind, a person's state of mind. As it mentions in there, the worry, the sadness, the grief, all these are things that affect a person's mind. Thirdly, from the wisdom that a person is afflicted by illnesses, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards a person by it and raises him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Rawahu Muslim, he said, Ma min muslimin yushak shawka fama fawqaha illa kutiba lahu biha daraja wa muhiyat anhu biha khati'ah. He said that there is no Muslim that is pricked by a thorn, and that which is greater than it. And he is afflicted by a thing which is greater than this. إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً, except that it is written for this person daraja, and a reward. Allah Azza wa Jalla raises a person by this. And also that a sin or one of his sins is wiped away from him. Another wisdom that a person is afflicted by illnesses, diseases, is that it causes a person to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It causes a person to return back to their Lord. It makes them realize their true state, their weakness, and their need of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ لِلْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Verily we sent messengers to many nations before you, meaning O Muhammad, and we seized them with extreme poverty and illnesses so that they might believe with humility. And Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in this verse, and that Dharra as well is mentioned here, and he says, Ya al-amrad, wal-asqam, wal-alam. They are the illnesses, the diseases, the pains and the aches. And he said, La'allahum yatadarra'un. The part in this verse where Allah says in the end, La'allahum yatadarra'un. He said, Ay, yad'u Allah. Yad'u'un Allah. Wa yatadarra'un ilayhi. Wa yakhsha'un. He says, and he saw that they supplicate and they call upon Allah and they turn to Him in humility and in fear, in humility. So we see here, brothers and sisters, one of the benefits or a wisdom when a person is afflicted by an illness or disease is that and it makes them ponder and think and regarding their true state, their weakness and their need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they turn to Allah azza wa jal in worship and sincerity in repentance. So when a person, brothers and sisters, is afflicted by an illness, whatever it may be, from the first things that comes to the mind of a person is cure, is healing, at-tadawi, remedies, seeking the cure, using remedy. So what is the Islamic ruling of seeking cure? Any meaning using a cure that is any halal, something which is permissible to use, permissible in al-Islam. What is the ruling regarding that, using that for a cure for yourself, for your ailment, for your illness, to heal any your body, for example? There's a hadith that وَجَاءَتْ الْعَرَابُ فَقَالُوا, and some of the Bedouins, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, أَنَا تَدَاوُ, O Messenger of Allah, shall we use remedies? Shall we seek cure? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَعَمْ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Yes, O servants of Allah, use remedies, search for the cure, search for cures. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَضَعْ دَا إِلَّا وَضَعَ لَهُ شِفَاءَ. For indeed Allah has not placed an illness or disease except that He has placed a cure for it. إِلَّا دَاءٌ وَاحِدٌ. إِلَّا دَاءً وَاحِدًا. He said, except for one illness. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا هُوَ. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, what is it? قال الحرم. And he said, old age. Sheikh Nubaz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he was questioned regarding this, is it permissible for a person to seek a cure, to use remedies? It was questioned regarding the ruling of it. And he answered and he said, بَالصَّوَابْ فِي التَّدَاوِي أَنَّهُ مُسْتَحَبْ مَشْرُوعْ ذَكَرَهُ النَّوَوِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَآخَرُونَ عَنْ جَمْهُورِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. He said, and the correct opinion regarding using remedies is that it is something which is mustahab, it is recommended, it is mashru', it is legislative. And it has been mentioned by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala and others that this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars, meaning that it is recommended and mashru', it is legislated. And he said that the intent here is what is permissible, what is recommended, it is the remedies that is Islamically permissible, and he's using things that are halal, things that are mubah, permissible to use, okay? Things that does not contain anything which is haram. think the a hadi haram, you cannot use it any for at-tadawi, for remedies. He said kat-tadawi bi qira'ati al-Quran. For example, the recitation of the Quran and ruqya, the Islamic ruqya, the legislated Islamic ruqya, and also by using cauterization with fire. He said la bas bihi and al-haja. It is okay to use it when there is a need. And he, and the Sheikh, he mentioned that using remedies, again, he said it is something which is la bas bihi, something which is okay. And he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ibadallah, tadawu wa la tadawu bi haram. O servants of Allah, O slaves of Allah, use remedies, but do not use any remedies that are haram. Do not use things to treat yourselves or to cure yourself, things that are haram. And he, the Shaykh, he continued and he said, وَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ فَلَا حَرَجْ عَلَيْهِ. And those who basically decide not to use remedies, then he said, فَلَا حَرَجْ عَلَيْهِ. Then that is something which is okay as well to do. But he says, وَإِذَا ظَنَّ نَفْعُهُ وَإِشْتَدَّتْ الْحَاجَ إِلَيْهِ تَأَكَّدْ. So if a person knows, for example, that he will benefit from a certain remedy, and he has a great and dire need and he, for using this remedy, for example, because his illness or his disease is causing him a lot of complications and a lot of difficulties, then he says ta'akkad, that there's more emphasis on this person that he uses and in that remedy. And some of the scholars mentioned that in certain of these cases, and in these cases, then it becomes compulsory upon a person and to use it. The Sheikh, he said, because the anna tarkuhu yadurruhu, because if a person does not use the remedy, then that will cause him more and afflictions. His illness, for example, will get worse. وَيَدْعَبْ نَفْسَهُ. He'll get there'll be more difficulty in himself. There'll be more difficulty on this person. وَيَدْعَبْ أَهْلَهُ. وَيَدْعَبْ أَهْلُهُ. And his family, there will be difficulty upon them. And those people around him who serve him, for example, they will have more difficulty upon them because this person is ill, this person has been afflicted, and he needs to be taken care of, for example. So he said, the Shaykh, فَالتَّدَاوِي فِيهِ مَصَالِحْ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلِأَهْلِهِ. So in using remedies, there is a great good in it for the person himself and for his family. And he continues, and the Sheikh, he says that using remedies is from the means of getting cured, from being healed. And he said that also it aids upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that a person can go to the masjid and pray. So a person, and he can go to the masjid and pray, that a person can also do the things that is of benefit to him and benefit to other people around him. But if this person does not do so, and in this case, then he will be unable to do things. A lot of things, brothers and sisters, will be difficult for him. So in this case, it is a must on this person that he uses remedies to cure himself, to heal himself. The Sheikh emphasizes again here, it says, but these remedies, in it, there is a lot of benefit, there is a lot of good. But of course, he says that they must be used, and they must be remedies that are permissible Islamically. They must be permissible Islamically. Now, regarding tawakkul, those seeking cure or using remedies negate or oppose tawakkul. For example, if you use or you take a medicine or go to the doctor, does that mean that your tawakkul in Allah is weak, that you've opposed this tawakkul, your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your trust in Him, your faith in Him? Have you opposed that or negated that? Meaning, have you doubted that Allah is going to cue you. For example, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he says regarding this, فَالتَّدَاوِي أَمْرٌ مَشْرُولٌ لَا بَأْسْ بِهِ وَلَا يُنَافِي التَّوَكُّلِ. He said that to use remedies is an affair that is legislated, it is okay, وَلَا يُنَافِي التَّوَكُّلِ, and it does not oppose or negate tawakkul, and our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he says, التَّوَكُّلْ يَشْمَلْ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. Tawakkul, it comprises of these two things, الْاِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ والتفويض إليه مع تعاطي الأسباب. And these two affairs, meaning الاعتماد على الله, meaning that you put your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will cure you, that He is the one who cures. But of course, at the same time, and the second affair is that you take the means to be cured. The Shaykh, he says, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَقُولَ. It is not befitting for a person to say, أَنَا أَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا أَأْكُلْ وَلَا أَشْرَبْ وَلَا أَتَزَوَّجْ وَلَا أَتَسَبَّبْ وَلَا أَبِيعْ وَلَا أَشْتَرِي. He says, it's not permissible, it's not befitting for a person to say, I put my reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to take the means to anything. I'm not going to trade or buy, for example, etc. And the Sheikh, he mentioned that this is ghalat, this is a mistake. And this is a serious mistake. So the Sheikh, he mentions that taking the means to heal yourself, taking the means, and it's for cure, using remedies, لا ينافي التوكل بل هو من التوكل. So it does not oppose or negate your reliance in Allah, your faith in Allah, but this is from tawakkul. This is from placing your faith and your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَكَذَا التَّدَاوِي مِنَ التَّوَكُّلِ. So he says that seeking or using remedies is from tawakkul and itself. From tawakkul and itself. So the Sheikh has clarified here, brothers and sisters, something very, very important, and regarding the ruling of using cures, and also that which relates to tawakkul, something which is very, very important, because that relates back to our tawheed in Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, when a person uses a remedy or seeks cure, or a person is cured from an illness, a disease, what should we always reflect upon as to where the cure and healing originates from? And this affair, again, it connects to our tawheed, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's oneness, that nothing cures you, that itself, or has any power to cure you except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah azza wa jalla is the one who created those means of cure and healing. For example, I take the example of Isa alayhi salam. As Allah azza wa jalla mentions in the Quran, regarding Isa, that he said, وَأُبْرِهُ الْأَكْمَحَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Isa alayhi salam, he said, and I cure the leper and the blind, and I bring the dead back to life bi-idhnillah, by the will, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, brothers and sisters, Isa alayhi salam, one of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned bi-idhnillah, by the permission and by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, our belief, we believe that nothing cures or nothing has the power to cure by themselves. That cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah azza wa jal has created these means, these asbab, for us to heal ourselves, for us to treat and use remedies. And for example, another example, for a person who does ruqya, and for the purpose of healing, and a cure does not come from the person himself that performs the ruqya, but it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, because He is Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who is Ash-Shafi. He is the one who cures. He is the only one who bestows cure and healing. He is the only one who makes a treatment or a remedy successful as Muslims. And it is from the highest of our affairs, our highest priority in the religion, that we have the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person believes that cure is from other than Allah, then he falls into major shirk. And he has ascribed equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. So it is crucially important that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the originator of cure and healing. If He wills, then we heal. Our body heals, our mind heals, and we are cured. But if He does not will it, if He does not and He allow it to happen, then we will not be cured. So we take a remedy, a treatment, we undergo a treatment. We take a medicine, for example, and we ask Him, and we should ask Him, and He to cure us, believing that He is the only one who cures. And we place our trust in Him, and whatever He wills will happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is praised in all circumstances, whatever it may be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and in a narration which is on Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, وَشْفِ أَنْتَ الشَّافِ أَنْتَ الشَّافِي لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ. The Prophet ﷺ said in one of his du'a that you are a shafi, you are the one who cures, and there is no cure except your cure. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. That if Allah wills that you are afflicted with harm, then there is no one to remove it but Him. And also, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he said, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions regarding him in the Quran, that he said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I fall ill, He is the one who cures me. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us brothers and sisters as Muslims, we need to be mindful of our aqidah and our belief in all our affairs, especially in this topic here that we are discussing. Now, regarding sicknesses, there are different types of sicknesses, ailments, diseases that afflict a person. And Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in the book Zadul Ma'ad, he said, Al-maradu naw'an, maradul qalb wa maradul abdan. He said that sickness or diseases, they are of two types. Maradul qalb, the diseases of the heart. And the diseases of the body. And he says, وَهُمَا مَذْكُورَانِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And they are both mentioned in the Quran. And he says, وَمَرَضُ الْقَلْبِ نَوْعَانِ. And the diseases of the heart, they are of two types. مَرَضْ شُبْهَ. شُبْهَ وَشَكْ. وَمَرَضْ شَهْوَ. وَكِلَهُمَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ. He said, as for the disease of the heart, then they are of two types. And the diseases which is by way of doubts in a person's heart. And the other type is that which is by way of desires. And he says that both of them are mentioned in the Quran. Both of them are mentioned in the Quran. Now Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah ta'ala, as well, he states and he mentions, again, al-maradu nawan, diseases of two types, maradul qalb والثاني مرض الجسم. Again, he mentions the diseases of the heart and the diseases of the body. And he said, الأول أولى بالاهتمام والعناية. He says, and the first type of disease, meaning the diseases of the heart, is the one that we should show more importance to. لأنه يترتب عليه الحلاك الأبدي والبقاء الأبدي. Says because, due to it, it can cause a person, to be forever destroyed. Any meaning in the hereafter. Because if the diseases of the heart takes a person, brothers and sisters, away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person does not die upon iman, he dies upon disbelief, then we definitely understand that he will be forever destroyed in the hereafter, in place in the hellfire. So here the Shaykh is bringing a benefit, and Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, that the diseases of the heart should have more importance. And it should have any more importance. And he says that the diseases of the heart has two types. And he says the first one, and it is regarding ignorance. And regarding ignorance. Because for indeed, there is a lot of people, there's a lot of people who want to do good. And they try their best to do this good. But, عنده جهل. Says, but they are ignorant. They are ignorant. فَيَحْسُلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ خَطَ عَظِيمٍ. And due to their ignorance, they fall into great mistakes. They fall into serious mistakes because of this ignorance that they have. So here, an emphasis from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala regarding this, that when we think about diseases, illnesses, and cures, and using remedies, that we also remember regarding, that we are mindful of the diseases of the heart, that we should not neglect it, that we should always be mindful of it, and that we constantly do the things that will protect our hearts. And because indeed those diseases of the hearts can take us to hellfire. Can take us to hellfire. There's more kalam of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, but inshallah, hopefully in another time we can mention it. So we will continue with another point. Now the ways of curing the body. The body or the heart of its ailments. One is by ruqya, recitation of the Quran, which the scholars mention is from the most beneficial form of cures. Also by making dua and supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him to cure you, to heal you, and also by using certain remedies and medicines that we can take, that we drink, that we eat, etc., and apply to our bodies in different ways. And also, to add to this, Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in Zadul Ma'ad that he says that the foundations of the medicine of the body are three: preservation of health, a diet that avoids things that may cause harm, and number three, he says, removing harmful substances, any matter, from the body. Therefore, upon this, brothers and sisters, a person needs to control what they eat and what they drink and how they eat and how they drink it. A person needs to know what they are eating, and they need to provide good nutrition for their body, for their different cells, and the functions of the body, so the body can use and have good nutrition to be in balance. And also the body, brothers and sisters, needs this good nutrition to heal as well. And also from healing the body, ways of healing the body is my, and you're removing that which is harmful from it. And you're removing that which is harmful and from it. So the body needs to be in the right balance for good health to be established. And here, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of things that could actually be mentioned about this topic. But inshallah, and due to the other points that we need to mention, inshallah, and we will and continue and mention any other things. Now, for example, again, here in a seeking cure from the Quran, and through, for example, ruqya, the recitation of the Quran. Sheikh Nubaz, rahimullahu ta'ala, and he was questioned regarding this, and he said the whole Quran is cure from its start till its end. And meaning all of the verses of the Quran can be used as ruqya, reciting it, and to cure the body and the mind and the heart. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَالرَّحْمَةُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we have sent down from the Quran that which is shifa, that which is cure and rahmah and mercy for the believers. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدَى وَشِفَى. Say that it is for those who believe a huda, and a guidance, وَشِفَى, and cure, and meaning the Quran. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, O people, indeed an admonition has come to you from your Lord, and a cure lima fi sudur, and a cure for that which lies in the chest, and meaning the heart, wa huda rahma lil mu'minin, and guidance and a mercy for the believers. As Sheikh Saleh Al Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, and he mentions, and regarding this verse, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ الثَّانِي مِمَّا جَاءَ لِلنَّاسِ أَنَّهُ شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ مِنَ الشُّكُوكِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَالنِّفَاقِ. Sheikh Saleh Al Fawzan, he said, and regarding this cure that is for the heart, and regarding the Quran, that is cure for the heart, is that it is a cure and for the doubts, for disbelief, for hypocrisy, and that lies in the heart. So here, brothers and sisters, again, we see the importance of curing and healing our hearts, and make sure that it is in accordance to the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down for us. The Sheikh also continues, brothers and sisters, and mentions other benefits regarding this verse. Inshallah ta'ala, we will, inshallah, have another opportunity and come to them at another time. Now, regarding cure, that can be sought from the recitation of the Quran, for the body, for the heart, is by way of, for example, relieving magic, sihr. And the Quran can be recited, ruqya can be performed to cure a person from sihr, magic, for a physical ailment, for something which is mental, for example, for relieving a doubt, or relieving the diseases of the heart. As for pertaining to ruqya, a person can perform ruqya on their own selves. That's what a person should do first and foremost. They should recite the Quran for their own selves, before the need to ask somebody else. But it is permissible, it is allowed to ask somebody who is of good character, who can recite the Quran correctly, and a person who meets all the conditions, for a person to do ruqya for you. Of course, a person has the ability to do that themselves, for their own selves. Now, ways of doing ruqya, Sheikh Saleh Al Fawzan, rahimahullahu ta'ala, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he says, ruqya can be performed directly to the sick. by reciting certain verses and surahs of the Quran and blowing onto the sick. Or it can be recited onto water and given to the sick to drink. Or recited, for example, over oil and placed over the area that is affected. The Shaykh continues and he mentions the conditions for ruqya. He says that the raqi, the person who is performing the ruqya, he must be a person of correct aqidah. It is incorrect to seek ruqya from a person who is upon shirk, a person who follows superstitions or bid'ah, even innovations in the religion, because such a person is not to be trusted, that he will not perform a ruqya, which is impermissible. Secondly, he said, second condition, that the ruqya must be taken from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Islamic and authentic supplications. And thirdly, he said that both persons must believe that the cure and healing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that this ruqya is only a means to the cure, is only a means to achieve that healing, and from the different means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. And fourthly, he says, and the other condition, that ruqya is performed, should be performed in Arabic, not other languages, not in sounds that cannot be distinguished or understood, not by calling upon, for example, the names of the jinns, the shayateen, as this is ascribing partners to Allah Azza wa Jal. And when Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was questioned about which verses to read from the Quran and for ruqya, he said that the whole of the Quran is cured. The whole Quran can be recited for ruqya. Then he advised that a person, he should put an emphasis on reading the greatest surah and verse in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Fatiha and Ayatul Kursi, and also, for example, to read and to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Nas, and Surah Al-Falaq. Now, here a point that we have to mention, and it is regarding the use of amulets or ta'weez. Is it something which is allowed? Indeed, brothers and sisters, if a person believes that an amulet he wears cures or protects him from, for example, the evil eye, then this is major shirk. If he believes that the amulet, for example, that he wears, the ta'weez that he wears, is just a means to get cure or protection, then this is a minor shirk. This is a minor shirk. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ta'allaqa tamimatan faqad ashrak." And whoever wears an amulet, therefore he has fallen into shirk. He has ascribed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything else, brothers and sisters, that is unlawful for us to use, anything that is haram, therefore these things we cannot use them as cure. We cannot and use them. Like, for example, intoxicants, like khamr, alcohol, and its likes. It is impermissible to use something which is haram in itself, to use it as a remedy. Yeah, as a remedy. For indeed, there was a person, Tariq ibn Suwayd al-Ju'asi, he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about any khamr, intoxicant, فَنَهَاهُ any sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited him from it. And he said, إِنَّمَا أَضَعُهَا لِلدَّوَىٰ. For indeed, I just use it as a remedy. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِدَوَاءٍ وَلَكِنَّهُ دَىٰ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, for indeed, it is not a remedy. It is not a cure. But it is a disease. And also he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ الدَّاءَ وَالدَّوَىٰ وَجَعَلَ لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَىٰ فَتَدَاوُوا وَلَا تَدَاوُوا بِحَرَامٍ. And indeed Allah has sent down diseases and cures, and he has placed for every disease a cure. So use any remedies. Seek the cure. وَلَا تَتَدَاوُوا بِحَرَامٍ. And do not use anything that is haram as a remedy. And also, brothers and sisters, Another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ دَاءٍ إِلَّا أَنزَلَهُ لَهُ شِفَاءٍ, that Allah Azza wa Jal has not sent down a disease except that He has sent and He for it a shifa, a cure. And He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ فَإِذَا أَصَابَ الدَّوَاءُ الدَّاءُ بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, for every disease there is a cure, and if when the cure admits, for example, the disease, then it is and it cured by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of Allah azza wa jal. Now there are certain cures and remedies, brothers and sisters, that are mentioned in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are quite a few things that are mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things that we can use and as cure, as remedies. And it's very important for a Muslim to pay attention to these cures and to these remedies. But Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, the prophetic medicine is not like the medicine of the physicians. For the medicine of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is certain. There is no doubt in it. And it came from divine revelation. Then he says, as for the medicine of others, then most of it is based on presumptions or experimentation. So therefore, Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala is making us understand that the remedies are mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these are certain. They work for sure if a person uses them in the correct way, or if there is something, anything else that is preventing, for example, this remedy from working in your body, for example. And from the remedies, as mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in a hadith, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qal, al-shifa'u fi thalatha, sharbati asal, وَشَرْطَةِ مِحْجَمْ وَكَيَّةِ نَارٍ وَأَنْهَا أُمَّتِي أَنِ الْكَيِّ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that cure is in three things: a drink of honey, in the blade of the person who performs hijama, meaning in hijama, which is wet cupping therapy, and also cauterization with fire. And he said that I forbid my ummah from using anikay, which is cauterization. Here in this hadith, brothers and sisters, we find three remedies that are mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned that there is cure in them. And Sheikh Nubaz rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, these things are the means to cure. They are the means for a person to heal their bodies, to get cure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that as for cauterization, then it is something which is permissible, something which is okay when there is a need for it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbids his ummah from using cauterization with fire. But when there is a need for it, then this is something which is halal. And for example, he mentioned hijama and honey as well. So the Sheikh, he mentions that these things are beneficial for the body. If they are used correctly, in the correct manner, they will bring a lot of benefit and shifa for the body. As for honey, asal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَخْرُجُ مِن بُتُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, there comes forth from their bellies, and meaning the bees, a drink of varying colors, a varying color. Therein is healing for mankind. Verily, in this, and indeed, is a sign for people who think. And there is a hadith that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his brother has a complaint in his stomach, has a problem in his stomach. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, isqihi asalan. Yeah, basically give him honey to drink. So the man, he went and he gave that person and his brother honey to drink. Then he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I gave him honey to drink, but now he's worse. And his stomach is worse. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded him to go again and give that person more honey. This happened about 3 times. And on the 4th time, as well. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he commanded him to do this again, that person he got cured, that 4th time. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kadhaba batnu akhika." Yeah, he said, "Sadaqa Allah wa kadhaba batnu akhika." That Allah has spoken the truth, and the belly of the stomach of your brother has lied. Here, An-Nawawi, he mentions regarding this hadith and regarding the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the meaning here is that this asal has been used as a cure. It is a cure for mankind. And he said here that this person who was afflicted with this ailment, this complaint in his belly, that basically here that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that complaint, that illness, that affliction that person had, would have been cured with the asal. That's why he said to him, go back and give him more. Go back and give him more. Because here, he said indeed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that that person will benefit from the asal. Okay, now brothers and sisters, as for hijama, as well, hijama, there's a lot of emphasis in the sunnah regarding hijama. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayru ma tadawaytum bihi al-hijama." Sahahu al-Albani. The best of your remedies is hijama. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma marartu laylata usriya bi bimala'in min al-mala'ika illa kulluhum yaqulu li 'alayka ya Muhammad bil hijama." He said, "On the night of the ascension, that I did not pass by an angel except that they said to me, 'Oh Muhammad, upon you is to use hijama.'" And also in the hadith, he said that the angels said to him, "Ya Muhammad, mur ummataka bil hijama." Oh Muhammad, command your ummah, your people, with hijama. And the hadith was been authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. Now hijama, brothers and sisters, there are times where it is recommended, or sunnah days, highly recommended. Inshallah, we won't go through this at this point. We'll just mention furthermore a few other remedies, as you mentioned, in the sunnah. For example, qistul bahri, or qistul hindi as well, sea incense, and Indian incense as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Khayrul ma tadawaytum bihi al-hijama." Well, qist al-bahri, Shabani said the hadith is authentic. The best of remedies that you have, or that you cure yourself with, that you use, is hijama. And also he mentioned, well, qist al-bahri. Yeah, qist al-bahri is the sea, the incense. And also, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, use this, meaning use Indian incense because it contains seven types of cures. Seven types of cures. It is sniffed by the one having a complaint in his throat, and it's put inside the mouth for one who is suffering from pruritus. Sahih Bukhari. And also the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the cupping and hijama and the sea incense are the best of your remedies. The best remedy that you can use is them. And he said that you should not harm your children by treating tonsillitis by pressing their tonsils. Rather, use qistul bahri. And you see incense found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And there's other benefits, brothers and sisters, that Ibn Qayyim, he mentions regarding these two types of qist. And also, brothers and sisters, there is the remedies mentioned, from the remedies that are mentioned, is that regarding black seed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, في الحبة السوداء شفاء من كل داء إلا السام. Said that in the black seed is a cure for every disease, every illness, except Assam, except death. Hadith, and he mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari as well. And also, regarding dates, there is shifa, there is cure in dates. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has seven ajwa dates every morning, he will not be harmed on that day by poison or magic. Sahih al-Bukhari. And he also said, the best of your dates are the burning dates. They take out disease, and they contain no disease in them. Hadith again, which is authentic. And there's other remedies, brothers and sisters, but the time does not allow us. The time does not allow us to mention all of them or to discuss all of them thoroughly. But we need, inshallah, to remind ourselves that, of course, when we're taking remedies, we need to basically seek the advice of people who are knowledgeable in it, and also doctors, professionals, people with khibra, people with a lot of experience. And Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan as well, he mentions, we will end with this, that we indeed in this world, brothers and sisters, we are tested with illnesses that affect our health, that affect our body. So the Sheikh says, so what is permissible for you to do is two things. The first is that you be pleased with the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you do not show resentment, nor discontentment, nor distress. But of course, you will need to take yourself into account, because indeed nothing afflicts you except that it is the result of what you have earned from your actions and sins. And secondly, he says that you use remedies, medicines, cures that are beneficial. They are beneficial for your illness and permissible to use, and that you refrain from remedies that are haram. So we end with this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to beneficial knowledge, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us act upon that which He has taught us. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.